then hours, then days and even weeks, and on the whole, it felt as if she had impressively willed her way to nirvana. But with the euphoria of forgetting her pelvic floor came the reminder that 33 years of bipedalism and gravity could never really be thwarted. That if it wasn't one thing, it would be another. If it wasn't the third-degree perineal tear that had taken 4 months of woo-woo meditation and therapeutic fingering to heal, it was run-of-the-mill mortality, the helpless slip of a vertebral disc. In these moments, Sloane became overwhelmed by a rush of disappointment in herself. She was ordinariness incarnate. Behind her, Isla, apple of her eye, object of a love so richly milk-sweet and cream-fat it sometimes felt erotic, banged on the tray of her high chair, not for the first time that evening and, with the way things were going, also not the last. Bang. Max, said Sloane. Bang, bang, bang. Max, she's trying to get your attention. Hmm? Max looked up from his phone. His phone, his pressing emails, his fucking emails, his precious fucking news headlines. Sweetie, Max cooed to Isla, don't bang your cup. Then he returned to his phone. Bang. Max. A deep, steadying sigh. She wants more juice. Bang.
Did you see this about the new humanities dean?
Bang. Bang. What? Sloane sampled the spaghetti from the pot of boiling water, gauging it not for the perfect degree of chewy al dente perfection as she had during her peak hostessing years, but for the slight quality of mush, for ease of chewing. Fucking Christ. Another bowl of spaghetti bolognese felt like it might kill her in some unmistakably spiritual way, but it was the only thing Isla would deign to eat. The only thing Isla would even consider broaching the sanctity of her mouth. Her sweet, darling mouth, which was iron deficient. A sweet, innocent deficiency that was likely causing Isla's poor sleep. Her inability to stay down on her own through the night so that Sloane could do the same. Bang.
The new dean. I told you right. Crawford got me too'd.
Briefly, Sloane considered saying aloud to her husband that no, Crawford didn't get me too'd. He got the consequences of his own actions, or so Sloane had discovered months ago, back when Max insisted they have the entire department over in thanks for solving their little two-body problem. Two academics in need of two jobs, with Sloane being the extra, undecorated body and therefore the problem. Thus, the humanities department had strung her up to their chariot to be dragged through the city of Troy. Or so it felt to Sloane on the scale of domestic humiliations. Victoria Ellsworth hadn't said a word about what she called the incident to anyone in the department. And then when she'd been up for tenure, Crawford had voted against her, citing the fact that she was, quote, unprofessional, unquote. Bang. Max, said Sloane. The juice?
You want more juice, sweetie. Juice?
Max again put on the doting voice he always used to speak with Isla, the one that screamed girl dad, the one that Sloane had once been so sure meant she'd chosen the right partner in life, when she'd been so unassailably confident that the sexiest thing a man could be was tender with his child.
You know, he remarked, we should really just give her water.
Something inside Sloane turned briefly molten. Max, I tried that. I've tried that. Are you suggesting that I'm, do you honestly think that I? Sometimes her mind went white with unproductive rage. Okay, give her water then. See how that works out for you, fuckhead. Love of my life, father of my child, fucking fuckwit.
Are you nervous about tomorrow?
Max had slipped a hand over Sloane's hip, where she was angled on one leg, flamingo-like,